Two more days, three more days, huh? And then you're in ropes. So, Emily, how is it going? There's one thing that we always, you know, I mean, no matter if you're lay people, come here, okay? We came here because of a specific reason. We ordained here because of a specific reason. And over the time, we forget why we came here. Okay? So, let us remember. Okay? Especially for monks who have been ordained for years, yeah, they forget, you know, they tend to forget why they came here. Because of dukkha, they wanted to overcome dukkha, yeah. And then, you know, dukkha gets less and less and less, and then suddenly, you know, I mean, all other activities except for practicing, you know, becomes more and more and more, yeah. And then, And that happens to every one of us, yeah. Or mostly everyone. But before I start, you know, there was actually a fight, but an argument, you know, on one of the talks on YouTube. Yeah? And somebody said, you know, Ajahn Martin knows the truth about COVID. No, I don't know the truth about COVID. But I do have my opinions about COVID, but this is not the place to put my opinions about COVID. But what I have is the teaching of the Lord Buddha, yeah? And that is the truth. Yeah? And the teaching of the Lord Buddha says, we are born, we will grow old, we get sick, and we will die. So, even though, you know, the medical faculty tells us, you know, there are so many sicknesses we die of, the only cause of death, yeah, is birth. And if you remember ourselves, if you remember, yeah, and we are Buddhists, that the cause of death, the only cause, and it holds true for 100% of all the cases, is birth, then this will help us to elevate our fear, yeah, the fear of death. Yeah? When we are born, we have to die sooner or later. Yeah? And it also, there's another truth, you know, what the Lord Buddha tells us, yeah. I mean, it tells us, you know, I mean, about the length of our stay here as a human being, or the length of our life, yeah? He says some people will have a, you know, short life, other people will have a long life. Some people will have a life, you know, with less illness, and other people have a life with a lot of illness, or with lots of sickness, yeah? I mean, and that is due to our karma from our previous lives, yeah? It has nothing to do, you know? It has very little to do with what science tells us, yeah? I mean, we are Buddhists, you know, I mean, we should trust, you know, the Buddha's teaching. And that is the truth. So whoever is born will grow old, you know, will get sick, you know, and will die, yeah? And if we get this kind of sickness or that kind of sickness, that is due to our karma, yeah? I'm not talking about the common cold, yeah? And I, you know, from myself or from my opinion, you know, COVID is also, you know, some sort of, you know, common thing that everybody can catch it. But if one dies because of COVID or if one dies because of the influenza, I mean, that is due to our karma that we have brought into this life from our last, yeah, from our last existences, yeah. So, I mean, if you have a long life, you know, if it gets serious, ill, you know, I mean, sooner or later, everybody gets serious ill, you know, and he died, yeah? Of some sort of sickness, yeah? Some sort of, yeah. So, I mean, all these fight about, you know, I mean, what is right and what is wrong, yeah? The only thing, what is right, and, yeah? Yeah? Or what is the truth, is the teaching of the Lord Buddha that says, you know, we are born, we will grow old, we get sick, and we will die. So there's no discussion about it, yeah? And especially, you know, all this opinion that exists, you know, and that makes us just more angry, you know, and hate, you know, more hateful and more aggressive, you know, and that separates us, you know, from the truth. The more we get angry, the more we get opinionated, the more, the more we hate, the more it separates us from the truth. Yeah. And just as a reminder. Yeah. Also, the people for the people you know who watch talks on the YouTube. Yeah. And if we are really Buddhists, you know, I mean, whatever happens to us is because of our karma, yeah? I mean, you can say it's not 100%, you know, but 99.9%, yeah, of the things that have happened to us, yeah? If you are born in a good family, if you are born in a very poor family, if you are born in a rich family, if you get a good education, yeah, if you get really sick, you know, if you catch Alzheimer or, you know, Parkinson or cancer, you know, I mean, that depends on our, that depends on our karma. Yeah? And this is something that we cannot change. Yeah? We cannot change the karma that we have created in the past life. The only thing that we can do is to change our karma that we are presently doing, yeah, by noting, by having sati, by having this awareness of what is going on now at the moment, what am I thinking? Is this the right thought? You know, is it a useful thought? Is it a wholesome thought? What am I doing? Is it a wholesome action? Yeah, or is it not a wholesome action? And when we have this awareness every day, you know, during our day, I mean, then we create only good karma or wholesome karma. Yeah, or the same thing with our speech. Yeah, so I mean, the key, to create wholesome karma. Karma, you know, is sati, is this awareness that we need to develop. And that is very, very, very difficult, yeah? I mean, especially for the younger generation in the West, yeah? It is very difficult because we have so many distractions that are going on. We have come into contact, yeah? With so many distractions. I'm quite old, you know, I mean, I was born in the 50s, you know, so I mean, at that time, you know, there were hardly any TV, yeah? I mean, my family, you know, got a TV when it was 1976, and then I was already 16 or 18 years old, you know, and I was not interested in watching TV, yeah? I mean, all of my youth, you know, I spent in the forest, yeah? There was a forest, you know, outside of our village, you know, and most of the time, you know, we just played in the forest, yeah? I mean, there was no internet, there was no phone, there was no distraction, there was no computer around it, yeah? I mean, it was really a life of a completely different, yeah, area, yeah? We had to entertain ourselves, we had to find, we had to be creative, yeah, to play our own games, to create our own games, yeah. And that is very different from what you find nowadays, you know, with the younger generation on their phones. I mean, everything is created for them. I mean, there is no more creativity, there's only a reaction to it, and this kind of reaction. And when you look at the novices, how fast they are with the phones, you know, I mean, it is amazing, you know. I mean, they scroll through, they click through, you know, I mean, at an amazing speed. An older person like me cannot even keep track of it, yeah? And that is not helpful for our sati, yeah? The awareness, that means we know before we do something, yeah? Before we, you know, before we click something or before we read something, we know that we are wanting to read it or we want to click it, yeah? And this is the awareness that we need, you know, if we want to have any progress in our meditation, yeah? So, when it also reminds me, you know, I mean, when I was in the monasteries in England, yeah? I mean, the monks there told me, you know, it is impossible for Westerners to reach samadhi. I said, what? Yeah? I mean, when you think about the Fourth Noble Truth, yeah? Sila, samadhi, panya. I mean, if you leave out one of the parts of the path to the deliverance, you know, to the freedom, I mean, how can you ever get there? Yeah? I mean, people who say, you know, I mean, samadhi for the Westerners, yes, it is difficult. I agree, it is very difficult for the Westerners to reach samadhi. But I happened, you know, when I came before, I came to the monastery, I happened to go into Upachara Samadhi very easily, and to Apana Samadhi very easily. You know, so I mean, I knew, you know, I mean, it is not true. Yeah? It depends on our sati, you know, it depends on our interest. If you are interested, you know, in our meditation object, yeah? And that is the key, yeah? And then this happened, yeah? I mean, it happens to everyone, yeah? It happened to my venerable teacher, Lungta Mahabua, yeah? I mean, he was in Upachara Samadhi and he was so happy and so, you know, so. He said it was an amazing state, yeah? And he went there, you know, it was very easy for him to go there, you know, and to come out. But then one day he said, you know, because he was a wandering monk, you know, so he had to repair his umbrella or his umbrella tent, yeah? And then he lost the samadhi. He couldn't go anymore in it, yeah? Because, I mean, his mind was busy with other things, yeah? I mean, just for a week or so, you know, he was busy, you know, mending his things, yeah? Mending his robes, mending his umbrella, and so on. And then afterwards, he couldn't get into it, yeah? And he talked about it. He said, you know, I mean, if you talk about hell, this was hell. Because you know, of this wonderful experience of samadhi, yeah? But you can't get into it anymore, yeah? And then he tried very hard, you know, so I mean slowly, his sati improved, you know, he was close to samadhi, but then, you know, I mean, after 3 days, you know, it dropped, you know, completely went off, you know, I mean, it decreased, you know, and then it decreased again, and then it decreased again, and it took him 9 months, you know, and then he said, I'm fed up with it, yeah? I don't get into samadhi anymore, I'm fed up with it. What did I do? And then he reflected about it. What did I do in the first place to get into samadhi? And then he said, I just kept on my Buddha, yeah? And then I was just only interested in my Buddha. And that happens to most of the people, or pretty much everyone, you know, who first gets into samadhi. He doesn't know anything about the results of samadhi, yeah? I mean, he just keeps on his object, be it the breath, you know, be it anapanasati or be it the Buddha, and he just keeps with it, and then automatically he goes into samadhi, yeah? And then, you know, once this wonderful experience happens, then of course he wants this wonderful experience back, yeah? And that's where we forget to do our work, yeah? It is, you know, that's why I use the similar, you know, I mean, digging a hole, yeah? I mean, as long as we dig a hole, as long as we stay at the same point, and that happens, you know, when we had, for instance, when we had samadhi, you know, then we try to look, this is the way, or no, this is the way, and this is the way. I mean, we are not digging at the same place. If we would dig at the same place, there will be a hole. But if you see that, that's too difficult, that wasn't probably the right thing, and then we look for another place, you know, or then we start digging there, that's difficult, it wasn't the right place, and we never get a hole. Yeah? So we never get into samadhi. And the same thing happened to me, you know. I don't know if it lasted for 9 months, but it lasted for a long time, probably a half a year. Same thing happened, you know, I was looking for it, where is it, you know, where is the samadhi, yeah? And I tried so hard, and I was always very close, yeah? But it is like, you know, for me, you know, then I suddenly realized, you know, it is as if I would stand at a train station, a big train station, but everything was foggy, yeah? I couldn't read the signs anymore. And before that, everything was so clear. Yeah? So obvious, so absolutely clear. Yeah? And they said, you do something wrong. Yeah? And then I went back, you know, to my anapanasati, just like Lungta Mahapua, just to the basis of the practice. And then, of course, you know, within no time, you know, you get back. Yeah? You get back into your samadhi. Yeah? But these expectations, you know, of the things that we have experienced before, you know, I mean, they linger in the heart, and every time you come very close to it, then this thought creeps up, or this expectation creeps up. Now! But the moment you think now it is the place, you know, I mean, then you have to start all over again. Yeah? I mean, you lost the point, you know, and now you're digging at another place, you know, for the hole. And the hole never appeared. Then you're very close to a hole where you just, you know, disappear, and then you say, now it is the time, you know, to enter. No. And then you have to go to another place. So this expectation, there are two things, yeah? I mean, there are lots of hindrances, yeah? When we practice samadhi, there's the hindrance of boredom, there's the hindrance of laziness, there's the hindrance of sloth and torpor. But there are two hindrances, you know, that really prevent us from getting into upachara samadhi or even then later on into apana samadhi. And that is fear and expectations. Yeah? So we have to tackle them differently. Yeah? I mean, the moment we see fear, you know, coming up, yeah, I mean, we have to address that fear. Yeah, what are we afraid of? Yeah, I mean, if you're close to apana samadhi, then the fear of, you know, you're completely, you know, dissolving, you know, the I is dissolving, you know, sometimes even in upachara samadhi, the I is dissolving, or, you know, nothing is left, yeah? So there's an existential fear coming up, and we have to deal with it, you know, deal with it in a clever way, yeah? I mean, before we say, you know, whatever, yeah? I mean, because we are Buddhists, we know whatever can, you know, whatever is anicca is not us, yeah? We use the principle of anatta, yeah? Whatever appears will disappear. Whatever, you know, whatever is not appearing and disappearing, that is what we are, yeah? So if the self is disappearing, you know, I mean, that is good, yeah? So we shouldn't be afraid of it, yeah? But we probably have to tell ourselves in front of the, you know, before we do the samadhi, so when this happens, you know, I'm not afraid, just I'm interested of what is left, yeah? Always think about what is left, yeah? I mean, everything disappears. This whole universe can disappear. I mean, what is happening, you know, the body disappears, you know, the senses disappear. First the senses disappear, then the body disappears, and then so, yeah, and then suddenly everything disappears. The whole universe disappears. That is the result of apana samadhi, yeah? But the expectations when we're very close, you know, I mean, always creeps in. Now, yeah? Because we have gone there for so many times, yeah? So it comes up, you know? And this we have to tackle in another way, you know? We have to address it and say, okay, expectation. And then remember, what brings us to samadhi, what leads us to samadhi, yeah? Or upachara samadhi or apana samadhi is the interest in the object. So, yeah? Expectation, how is the object? Instantly switch, you know? I mean, you can label it, expectations, you know, and then switch. How is this object? Yeah? How is the Buddha? How is the breath? Is it deep? Is it shallow? You know, just ask this question to go back into, you know, into the interest, yeah? Then you don't have to start from the beginning, yeah? But if you think about it, you know, oh, I'm so close, you know, I mean, then your thoughts lead you out, you know, and the next thought is something about, oh, yesterday was much better, or, you know, a year ago, you know, I was so happy, why can't I get it, you know, and then you're off, then you're completely out, yeah? But if you see this expectation creeping up, then just label it expectation, yeah? And then say, how is the Buddha, yeah? Or how is the breath, yeah? Is it slow, is it deep, is it shallow, is it, you know? And so to get with the thoughts, you know, the thought that brought you out, the thought of expectation that brought you out, change it to the thought of interest in your samadhi object, yeah? It is different, you know, I mean, when we develop wisdom, you know, it is different, you know, I mean, there is no expectation creeping up, yeah? So doing panya, doing wisdom is much easier in this sense, yeah? But, yeah, what happens, yeah, when the result, for instance, you know, when we do investigation of the body, yeah, and we see, you know, the results, the detachment from the body, you know, gets better and better, you know, or we get more and more detached, yeah? Then we see the kilesas coming up, we don't need to do anymore body investigation. We got it. We already understand it, you know. And that shows us, you know, there is a prevention of doing investigation. And if you see this prevention of doing investigation, for instance, of the body or you know, of dukkha vedana, huh, then you know you have to do it. Yeah. It's just, you know, the kilesas. You know, once you understand, once the heart understands, you know, I mean, it is finished with the investigation of the body. It doesn't want to do it, even if you force it. That is very different from the kilesa saying, I finished with the body investigation, now I understand everything, I see it, you know, see it really in front of me, this is just a mess, yeah? That is not the wisdom that comes up, yeah? This is thought, yeah, about, you know, what we are doing, yeah? So I mean, this might be an indication.
Yeah.
And it is actually a good indication that our body investigation is working.
Yeah.
When we don't want to do it anymore.
Huh?
Yeah. Because the kilesas hate it. I mean, the body is their playground.
Yeah.
I mean, think about, you know, a little child, you know, who has a favorite toy, and then one of the adults comes and takes that away. I mean, it will cry, it will make all, you know, sorts of things. Yeah? And that is the same the kilesas. The moment we destroy their favorite toy, and the favorite toy of the kilesas is this body, yeah? Then they start to cry, yeah? And they will make all sorts of mess, you know, will find all sorts of reasons why we shouldn't do it, yeah? Okay, understood? Yeah? So, I mean, now you can, I talked enough about expectations, so you can ask a question, you know, about whatever it is, yeah? A little bit German. not yet Portuguese. So, are there any questions? Do you have any questions? Okay. Then we end the talk. And remember, yeah, I mean, this is a place to practice, so I mean, you have the utmost time to practice, yeah? When I came to Wat Vapantat, after the experience of what happened in the West with all these monasteries, I mean, I was in Chittorgh, you know, for 3 or 4 months, yeah? Then I was in Amravati for 2 or 3 months, you know, then I was in Hanum for 2 or 3 months, and then I was in the Buddha house in Germany, you know, for a year or for, I don't even know, or 1.5 years, yeah? And what they do is they are working. So I was, my heart was, you know, was longing for a place, to find a place where I can only do the things that I really want to do, and that is practice 24 hours a day. And then I came to Pantat, and that's exactly so. I was really happy, yeah? But other people who are not inclined, you know, to do whole-time practice, you know, who want to have their little tasks here and their little tasks here, and then practice in between, yeah? I mean, then this might not be the right place, yeah? It is like, you know, I mean, it is like the teaching of the Lord Buddha, yeah? I mean, it is like you're going through stages, yeah? I mean, when you look at the development of an arahant or the development of a Buddha, he goes through stages, yeah? The first thing is, you know, you go to kindergarten to listen a little bit, you know, you hear some nice stories, you know, about the Buddha, you know, and his savakas, you know, and his light, and that makes you happy. And then you go to primary school, you know, get a little bit deeper into Buddhism, and then you go to high school, get a little deeper, but also at the end of the high school, you start to practice, yeah?
Yeah.
But if you're still in the kindergarten and then go instantly to university, I mean, you will say, yeah, I mean, this is nothing for you, yeah? You have to finish high school, and Lungta Mahabua always called his monastery, the forest university, yeah? I mean, it wasn't for everybody, you know. Even when the king came and said, you know, he should make a meditation center for all the people, he said, no, I'm not a teacher for all the people. I'm only a teacher for a few, you know, that will understand what I'm teaching, yeah? Because not everybody, you know, not everybody can sit, you know, for 24 hours and practice, or 18 hours, you know, when you take away the sleep. Yeah? I mean, I was practicing, sometimes I was practicing and sleeping 1.5 hours, yeah, per day, huh? Because I was so interested, yeah? But you have to get to the momentum. And to get to the momentum is like, you know, having a heavy stone, you know, a real boulder, yeah? I mean, put them into motion. But once it is into motion, you know, very slowly, you know, it goes faster and faster and faster. Once it goes, you know, I mean, there's no problem, you know? I mean, you can practice 24 hours a day, yeah? I mean, you hardly need to sleep, yeah? But to get this boulder into motion, yeah? Ah, oh, now it stops again. Now we push it a little bit. Oh, it's so heavy. Yeah? No. I mean, you have to continuous work on it. Yeah? And I try to make this monastery the same way or lead it in the same way as Lunga Mahabua led his monastery. Yeah? Everybody was welcome, you know, but you know, not everybody could stay. Yeah, because I mean of his own conditioning. Maybe he was not right for university, maybe he still needs to go to high school, listen sometimes to the talks, you know, read. Yeah. I mean, in Wat Babandat there was no library, yeah? There were no books, yeah. I mean he didn't encourage reading, yeah. He said, you know, you have gone enough, you know, I mean you have finished your high school, you know, I mean now it is only time to practice, yeah. And if you have questions, then you can come and see me, yeah? Okay?